This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
U.S. science back at work.
And tech wrangles big data.
Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for October 18th, 2013, available Fridays on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined by my co-analyst, Michael Feldman. Hey, Michael, how's it going?
Very well. How are you doing, Addison?
Fantastic. I feel like there's more of us back at work today.
Yeah, the shutdown, the U.S. shutdown for the government ended. The federal workers are back, and all of our science and research people that we know and love are back at work, presumably.
Ended for now, at least. We'll see if we're back in this same discussion 2.5 months from now, right?
Right. The agreement was we're going to push a lot of this out until January and some of it till February of next year when more of the budget agreements have to be settled on. But for a few months, at least till basically the end of this year, we're okay. And then maybe we'll do it all over again. Hopefully not exactly like this, but there's a reprieve and people are back at work at least.
Right. Federal workers were getting notifications, text messages, emails saying, come on in. So, we talked before about NIH and NASA and NOAA, all these agencies getting going again. And then, of course, this has repercussions into even the sites that were still working, like DOE sites, DOD sites. Presumably, their planned spending for fiscal year 2014 can get back on track.
Right, exactly. Right, and NASA, of course, and NASA was basically shut down, and DOE was half shut down in a sense, but and some of them were working on money that was still flowing in from the pipeline. But yeah, so money should now come in, and everybody should be sort of back to normal, although some of the impacts of the shutdown, it sounds like they might be permanent to a certain extent. I mean, there's going to be lost data, there's going to be events that were canceled, there's going to be a little bit of a lag and some catching up to do as well.
Yeah, we're still looking ahead toward supercomputing, and there's still going to be things like travel restrictions, and we're still going to keep our eye on what attendance at supercomputing is going to be like, or other government-heavy shows such as the Newport HPCC conference that's in March.
Right. A lot of these things are still suffering because of the sequester, which is still in effect. The agreement did not nullify that, and there's going to be further sequester cuts if they don't do something about them in the coming months when the next round of budgets get settled on. So, yeah, this doesn't do a complete job, but some of these things are still in effect. I mean, one of the things that was interesting that I remember reading about when the shutdown started is the American Human Brain Mapping Project, which is a thing President Obama initiated back last year and wanted to put a lot of money into it to sort of compete with the European version of the Brain Project that had started, and it's, I think, has like $1 billion in it over its lifetime.
Right.
Of course, that U.S. version got shut down with the furloughs, and there was some talk that even if it lasted too long, that a lot of that work would be delayed because of sort of the timing of what was going on. And sure enough, this lasted 16 days, so it'll be interesting to see if they recover from that. That was sort of one of Obama's big science projects, and I'm kind of bearish on that now. I mean, there's not very much money in the government for these sort of big R&D projects, and with the sequester controversies, I don't see a lot of optimism about that $3 billion project going forward. I'm a little pessimistic.
Yeah, I think you're right about that these big science projects still have a lot of justification to do, and there's a lot of cost cutting that representatives are still looking to make in the coming year. Meanwhile, you noticed, Michael, that just this same week there was an announcement that the Human Brain Project in the EU is going forward.
Right. There was a status update. There was an article in HPC Wire about that, and that, like I said, that's a $1 billion project over its lifetime, and they're looking, of course, towards building some of these big platforms to do this research, including an exascale system to do some of the final simulations. It's 10 years out or 8 years out. But yeah, that's going forward, and it looks like their funding is, it's not all decided, of course. It's $1 billion over the whole 10 years, but they're making progress. It doesn't seem like there's that controversy there. The EU, even though the EU is really in no better shape and probably worse shape fiscally than the United States, they haven't punished discretionary spending the way we've done. So I'm much more optimistic about the prospects of the European version of the BRAIN project. I think that'll go forward. It sounds like they're committed to it, and I think we'll see some really interesting research come out of that.
Yeah, it's an interesting parallel looking at it. You know, it's not like government spending hasn't had its own crises in the EU and the European Commission, but they're still managing to pull off some of this general scientific funding that's reliant on HPC. Let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and we'll talk about big data and the role of flash in HPC.
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance. Leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology, users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
Well, Michael, we're back in. Another major story on HPC Wire this week is TAC is starting to unveil a system that's not a big on the compute side. It's a 120-node cluster from Dell, but it's got components from a stealth flash company called DSSD, and they're looking to put up some pretty significant big data, or more specifically, IOPS numbers.
Right. They say this system, which they don't expect to deploy until early 2015, is going to be able to deliver 275 million IOPS. Like you said, it's a small cluster, but it's basically a big data cluster on the model of a Gordon, something like that, where it's very focused on data analytics, data movement, data intensive applications like that. So a lot of storage, a lot of fast storage, which will be flash based, like you said, on this stealth company DSSD, but I think it's only going to cost $6 million. It's an NSF funded system, just I think like Gordon was, but it looks like another very interesting big data system in the HPC community. We'll see in just a little bit over a year.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like a huge price tag when you say it's not really about flops, it's about IOPS for this machine. They're calling it a Hadoop-ready cluster, although, you know, whether or not it's a Hadoop application, I think maybe doesn't matter. There are going to be a lot of non-Hadoop, even if they're big data-related applications, that can take advantage of that many IOPS. Furthermore, this is the sort of thing that we've seen before from TAC. TAC has made a habit of making an investment in interesting pre-public or stealth types of technologies. We've seen some green revolution computing systems, the ones with the mineral oil there. I happen to know that they've got a stealth supercomputing architecture system there that's showing a lot of promise. So this is the sort of thing we've seen from TAC before.
Yeah, and it is interesting. This DSSD company is being funded at least partially by Andy Bechtolsheim, who's funded a lot of very interesting companies, including Arista and then back in the day Google when that was starting up. So there's sort of a lot of scrutiny being put. There's not much information about what the company is offering. They've got some patents out there on flash-type technology. It looks like they sort of want to reinvent some storage APIs and flash technology and make something sort of revolutionary here. And it looks like they've impressed the people at TAC enough to put something together. It's 275 million IOPS in a relatively small system would be quite a feat.
Well, and, you know, you're right. Having Andy involved in DSSD gives it immediate credibility from an HPC standpoint. But even beyond that, we're already seeing a lot of movement in the flash space within HPC and in enterprise in general. Big data has put such a focus on I.O. scalability and I.O. throughput that the ability to put up these IOPS numbers has a lot of flash SSD companies on the move. We're seeing them in big data related application areas in HPC, and we're seeing movement with a lot of the companies involved. Violin Memory earlier had its own IPO. Now, they're not calling that IPO a big success. They raised a couple $100 million, but they debuted at $9 a share, immediately fell down to about $7 a share, 702, now trading in the they just closed at 719 yesterday. But I think the Violin Memory, you know, they did raise a lot of money through that IPO. They're around to stay. And then simultaneously, we had Western Digital announcing the acquisition of Viridant, which was a company we were watching on the HPC side. And I think that acquisition just closed yesterday, right?
Right. Yeah, that was just announced yesterday. They closed. They announced it a while back. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, those two data points, I think, points to, right, a larger trend. I think some of these big SSD and solid-state companies are definitely here to stay, and it seems like over the past year, maybe 2 years, it's become much more established in the enterprise, and like you said, in HPC, there's much more interest in it. The NSF, like we said, is backing a lot of these big data systems now, and they're starting to get deployed. So, yeah, I think it's sort of that's a quick maturing technology and product set that we're now seeing come to fruition.
Well, it's one that we've seen a lot of around supercomputing in the HPC community. I hesitate to even start listing examples for fear that I'm going to forget some of them that we've met with before. I think Fusion IO has made some of the biggest splash at some of the supercomputing conferences. I met with another company called Fast Storage just recently that's out by us. But there are myriad companies in this space all seeking to differentiate themselves in terms of what they offer technologically and how they offer differentiated performance.
Yeah, and we're seeing that mature because we've seen more acquisitions for some of these companies over the past year or two. So, yeah, I think the whole space is maturing, and we'll probably see a wringing out of some of these startups, and some of these companies will either go under, get bought out, or go public like Violin has done. But fast moving space, and it's good to see HPC in specifically put up some of these big data machines.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that'll wrap the podcast for this week, Michael. Good talking to you again as always.
Great talking to you, and maybe we'll do it all again next week.
All right, have a great weekend.
You too.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.